Hi, welcome to Just Friend Zone. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jackie.
I'm Damien.
So today we've got a notable missing person. Josh is not here. He's currently away on a trip, so the three of us decided it'd be fun for us to continue our recording schedule, and we wanted to talk about our relationships. You know, we're all dating, Damien's not dating technically, but... But we're all here, and we're going to talk about our significant others and our relationships and, you know, how it's important to us. It's kind of like a build-off from the previous episode where we talked about our friendships and what makes them important to us. And, you know, your significant other is, as Jackie and Damien brought up, right, your significant other is your best friend. So, yeah, we wanted to build off of that, and I thought it'd be a lot of fun for us to talk about our relationships in that way. So with that out of the way, Damien, do you want to start us off as our resident boomer?
Excuse me, that's rude. I'm only a couple months older than you.
Aren't you like a whole year older than me, dude?
Oh, wait, you're right. Wait, so you're only turning 29 this year?
Yeah, I'm only turning 29.
Oh, gosh.
That heavy sigh.
Yeah. Well, so the question being, what does my relationship mean to me? Or what am I answering here, I guess, to start off?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't really give you a good question.
You just said start off, and then I was just like, where do I go from there, Kevin? What am I working with?
I guess start with talking about your partner. If you want to start with like talking about your journey together, if you want to start with talking about what you admire about your partner, what makes your relationship work together, right?
Sure. So Kayla and I actually knew each other from high school. My best friend in high school was her best friend growing up. So Kevin, it was Tiffany Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiffany was friends with Kayla when they were in like third grade or fourth grade, very early on in their childhood. Mm-hmm. Whereas I got to know Kayla a little bit closer just in high school. And even then, like, she went to a different school than I did completely. Like, I would just see her more in passing from time to time when Kayla would be able to come visit Bolsa Grande, or she would hang out with Tiffany. And at the time, I didn't think much of it. I thought she was a fun, goofy person, but I didn't think necessarily of anything as far as like a life partner. Circling back, I think it was 6 years later at that point, or 7 years later. That's New Year's Eve, 2018 going into 2019. We reconnected, and ever since then, I could just tell right from the get-go that she was someone who's going to be very important in my life, and very shortly after, I could tell that this was the person I was going to end up with. For me, the biggest sign was, you know, I've dated people, and I've always felt like there was always this thought of, I am going to have to sacrifice some part of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, there's not someone who's going to accept me for 100% of who I am. Like, you know, they're always going to have to be compromised, and the compromise I was thinking of was like, there's always going to be a part of me where I'm just going to be like, they're never going to get that, and that's okay. I'll either have to hide it from them, or I'll have to force myself to be someone else. And so, you know, you could always kind of, when I was dating, I always felt like there's like a part of me that I had to like hide from myself from that mm-hmm. person that I was dating. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, they're not going to like have that be acceptable in the relationship. When it came to Kayla, I could tell that she accepted me for all who I was. She accepted me for my differences as well. And she lets me, you know, she actually is really happy, and she encourages things that are like my energy spent towards my hobbies, whether it be something that's similar that we have or that's something that's very different. With her and I, it's like we are the same person, but with just different interests. And so I think that is where I appreciate her the most, where her and I have the same views, have the same beliefs, have a lot of similarities, but we're still different enough to be our own people and to be able to have our separate time, like away from each other, but still come back to each other and appreciate each other for who we are. So it's a little snippet of what I'll say about my relationship with Kayla. I guess overall timeline, we've been together for 4 years. We've been married for 3 of those years, coming into our 4th year. So yeah, that's me and Kayla.
Nice. Yeah, I think it's funny because, you know, you brought up high school and being in and out of a lot of relationships. And I remember, like, in high school, you got into a relationship and then it, like, didn't work out. I felt like, I don't know, like, we weren't too close in high school, but every time I'd ask, like, oh, like, is Damien still dating so-and-so? And people like, nah, they broke up, like, last week. Oh, okay. So I think, like, that gives you perspective, right? Because you get to learn from, like, your mistakes and your failures and stuff, so.
I mean, Kevin and Jackie were at my wedding, and they so famously heard from my best man, Luke. He was like, Damon told me that Kayla was the one. Granted that there were a lot of the ones that I've been told about. So I'll always remember that line. It's so funny. That'll always get me. But I think that, you know, the way I was raised, my mom and my stepdad said that I was not allowed to date until after college. I still decided to date behind their back, so they didn't know. But that also meant that I had no guidance on how to go about being in a relationship, being in a pursuit of a relationship. And so a lot of what I knew about romance was based off of movies. So, and TV shows and things like that. And so I think what a lot of people have in similarity to what I was going through was you fall in love with the idea of a person, with the idea of the relationship, rather than actually like seeing if it's compatible, if it's worth your time and your energy. And so that's why those relationships were always like so short lived,
right?
Where, you know, I would think about how fantastic it would be, what this relationship would be like if we were finally together. And the moment that I was actually in it, I was just like, this is not what I expected it to be. I thought love was supposed to be something different. I thought love was supposed to make me feel a certain type of way, but it doesn't with this person. And so that's why, like, you know, it kind of almost immediately end, just because it was just like, well, you know, at the same time, I am not really good at lying or being dishonest. Like, it's like where I have a tattoo of it where, like, you know, my heart's on my sleeve. Like, you could easily tell, like, how I feel or what's on my face. So that's another reason why I'd be short-lived, just because, like, I would feel like it'd be a disservice to that person if I just, you know, stayed there just for the sake of staying in the relationship.
Right. Yeah, it's like, I think when you have an idealized view of relationships, you tend to get into a relationship not because you actually like this person, because you like the potential of this person, right? And when you're not fixed on, or when you're not actually thinking about who this person is in the present moment, and you're worried about, when you're thinking more about the potential of what this relationship with this person can look like, you're just not paying attention to the things that actually matter, you know? So,
Yeah, definitely. And then on top of that, you know, kind of like also flipping it around and looking inward, there was a lot of introspection that came with me kind of going through each quote unquote relationship. I say quote unquote because, you know, obviously some of them were short lived, some of them were longer, but, you know, a lot of it was also like a slow development of me realizing, like, am I actually ready for a relationship? Am I actually capable to be in one, to take care of another person? It's not something as simply as like, oh, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. Oh, like I'm going to like be able to have this person I can have affection with and be and have this connection with. It's much more than that. And it took me a long time to realize that. And again, because like I didn't have anyone to kind of show me the ropes. Like I couldn't go to my parents to ask for advice, you know? And then I had dated long enough to where that just became a normal where I just never asked for advice. And so I was just like, I'll just figure this out myself. And so it was a long, long process.
Yeah. But I think like it comes with it, right? Where I think the more you spend, I think, in and out of relationships, or I guess you don't really want to be in and out of a lot of relationships, right? This isn't saying that you have to be in a lot of relationships to learn these things. But I think the important thing is after a while, I think you start to get this idea of like, it's not so important like who this person is, but it's actually much more important who I am. And like, not just in the sense of like, do I have XYZ qualities, but like, am I working towards myself? And do I actually understand who I am? Like, right. Cause if you, it's not just about like having these qualities, cause it's like, you can be trustworthy. You can be, you know, I don't know, respectful. You can be a kind-hearted, compassionate person. But if you actually don't understand that that is who you are, that if you don't have like that self-awareness to be like, these are things that you bring to the table, like you're actually, I feel like, not going to be able to maximize that part of you in a relationship. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I think that comes with like, at least for me, like being in relationships and like realizing that relationships failed for XYZ reason and being like, well, who am I actually? You know, like, what is the reason that I want to be in a relationship? And then what is the reason for me to get into relationships? And so like, I think after a while, like, whereas there was a point in my life where I was very much chasing relationships for a relationship's sake, I think like as I've matured, I've definitely become the kind of person where I'm like, oh, like, no, like, if I don't actually like see a reason to be with this specific person, like, I don't want to be with them, you know? Like, why am I going to waste my time on that? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah. Happy for you, Damien, you know? I've seen you since high school, so.
I've seen you since three years? Two years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know. Jackie. Your friendship has basically been as long as my marriage.
Yeah. So it's crazy to think that like it's been 3 years since like all of us have become friends, you know? So yeah, I'm very happy for you, Damien. I'm very happy you found your forever person. So
I know. I'm all like, you guys are so perfect together.
I mean, we have our ups and downs like any other couple, but I think
the second
thing that I would say that I cherish most out of my relationship with Kayla, out of like just what we have together, is I feel like she is the one person where if we're in an argument or in a disagreement, no matter how bad it is, we're always able to kind of come back together and find a way to solve problems with each other. Like, there are times where, you know, emotions are at a high, we get into like fights and there's just like no resolution. But I think at the end of the day, her and I always try to like make sure that we always know that, hey, like, no matter what happened, like, I'm always going to care about you. I'm never going to want, like, there's never that thought of like, oh, we're going to walk away from each other, or things aren't going to work out, or this fight is the deal breaker and this is going to be the end all be all. It's like, no, it's more like, it's a rough patch. We'll get through it. It's just going to be a little awkward at a time. And I feel like with her, it's the best relationship I've had where I can actually communicate my problems with her, and I can actually feel like it's two people exchanging like ideas and solutions and trying to find and meet like a middle ground, versus I've definitely been in relationships where like we've been in screaming matches, or it just feels like we're talking in circles and going nowhere. And so like, it's a breath of fresh air when you find someone who is like actively trying to work out a resolution with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's got me thinking, and I want to zoom out for a moment. We're going to like not talk about our personal relationships for a moment. And I want to talk about some, like, relationships as a general concept, right? I think when you're not dating, a question you'll get a lot when you're like actually looking to date is, what are you actually looking for in someone, right? What do you think is the most important thing that your partner should have? What do you guys, like, what would you guys say is like the most important thing that you look for, that you would look for, I guess, for all dating. So this isn't saying we're going to look for people other than our partners. I'm just saying, you know,
I mean, cause it does relate to like why I chose to date who I date. It's that like going off of like arguments, I'm not a person to argue. Like I really don't like yelling. Like yelling is like a triggering thing for me. as a childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. So it's like finding someone that also doesn't like to argue. And if like either of us have an issue, we'll just talk about it and like sit down and talk about it rather than expressing our frustration through like, you know, raising voices or throwing things or hitting things. It's like, it's nice to use just your words to express how you feel rather than like any other actions with it.
Mm.
For me, at least.
Yeah. So would you say that, I guess, to put it into like specific words, would you say like a gentleness or like a reasonableness?
More reasonable and understandingness. That's like, this is like what's, I guess, what has happened to me or what's wrong with me, mm-hmm. that they're willing to not do anything to make me be more upset, if that makes sense.
Mm. And to be understanding, right?
Yeah, to be understanding of any like situation that occurs between us.
Got it. Okay. I think for me, like, the main three things are communication, open-mindedness, and family, like respect towards each other's families. Mm-hmm. The family thing I found out very early on, where I remember there was a person I was dating, like, her family was so nice, and they're so welcoming to me, and they treated her so well, but she would treat them very poorly. Like, she would actually like yell at them, act very kind of like spoiled. So I just, like, for me, I was just like, they're acting like that towards their own family. Like, you know, not saying that it was going to happen right away, but how would she treat our children? You know, like, right. I always had that kind of foresight where I knew what I wanted out of a relationship, to where I didn't want to like stall for too long, where if I found something that I didn't necessarily like, I was just like, well, it's not going to sit well with me. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted a family for myself, and I wanted to be able to see how that partner would be a part of that family, mm-hmm. And how we'd be able to grow that family together. And if there were going to be anything that's going to be a detriment to that vision, then I was just like, well, maybe it's not the right one for me. Or, like, you know, not even like for our own family, but like, you know, towards my family or for me going over to like her place. So, yeah, those were, say, my three pillars, mm-hmm. what I would have looked for in a partnership.
Gotcha. And like Jackie said, right, these are things that you believe you've found in your person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I think I'd say the most important thing, and people have always roasted me for this, but I say sense of humor. Like, I've always found that is the one thing that I will not negotiate on. And there's two reasons, right? One is you're going to spend a lot of your life with this person. Like, you know, hopefully, ideally, you're going to spend a lot of time with this person and a lot of your life with this person. So why not have those moments be filled with you two laughing together, right? Like if you have 100% of time, right, like 80 to 90% of it probably is going to be very boring, mundane moments of you just doing life together. So if it's going to be you doing life together, you should have somebody that you're going to be able to laugh with. And I think that's why, like, a shared sense of humor, or somebody that I can actually, like, someone who can actually make me laugh. I think people think that, like, when I say that I want someone who has a sense of humor, it's someone who will laugh at my jokes. And yeah, that's number one. Like, I would love somebody who laughs at my jokes, but I think I'm a funny guy, so people are going to laugh at my jokes anyway. So I want someone who can make me laugh, because there are times when I can't make myself laugh too, you know? So I think that having somebody who I genuinely think is funny is big for me. And I think also it just helps when we're having serious conversations that both of us understand that there's a level of, like, hey, like, nothing is too sacred. So if we're like, if one of us is crying, it's okay to kind of, like, you know, make a little fun of it, or to, like, make a small joke. So, like, one joke that Amanda and I have is we say it's allergies if one of us is crying. So it's just like a way for us to kind of, like, make the moment, like, not as serious, you know? So, mm-hmm. And neither of us have cried for, like, because of the other person. It's just kind of like, oh, like, she'll be like sniffing, and I'll be like, oh, is it your allergies? And she'll be like, yeah. So, I'm exposing her right now.
I like that. That's funny.
Yeah, so I think sense of humor is huge. And I think another thing is respectfulness. Like, not just towards me, but towards all people, right? Like, I think if you're not treating... Like, there's, like, that really obvious, like... or not obvious, but, like, there's that really big one that people say all the time is, like, do you treat wait staff well? And, like, that's a red flag if you don't. And I think, yeah, I mean, that's huge. I think also, like, do you put the shopping cart away? Just are you mindful of other people? And are you trying to actively, you know... Are you being proactive about trying to be considerate towards others? So I think that's huge.
You know what's really funny is you guys know how, like, generally nice and patient I am. But for some reason, like, there will be times where this isn't pertaining to the wait staff part. Mm-hmm. Like, I will become a Karen for Kayla without her asking me to. Mm-hmm. Just because I try to be, it's like usually from a place of like, oh, I'm trying to like make sure that she's taken care of and that I'm trying to be a voice for her. So that way, like, you know, if anyone needs to be the bad guy, I'm the bad guy. Mm. But also the other half of the time is usually it's because it's around the time that I'm hangry. So you're like bothering me at the worst time. That's like literally where I have the thinnest amount of, the very smallest amount of patience. So I was just like, not only are you mistreating my wife, but you're also like not getting me the food I want. So come on.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I didn't know you got hangry, Damien.
I do. Like when I'm, when I'm hangry, I'm like very silent and curt. Like I'm kind of like brewing. Mm. Like just like in my seat, and then Kayla's like, you're hungry, aren't you? I'm just like, you're right, I think I am.
I think I am, yeah.
Gotcha.
Like she'll realize it before you and I would, just based off of like my responses.
Like body language too is probably a big part of it. Mm-hmm. Like her ability to read you, that's probably huge. That's going back to like what you're saying about communication, right?
Oh yeah, like I can't lie to Kayla. She knows when I'm lying. Like me keeping the proposal a secret was agonizing because I was like, because I knew around her birthday, so that was March, and I proposed to her in September. So that was like half a year, 6 months of me just holding it in. Wow. I had it all planned out and like it was tearing me apart inside, but she's a lie detector, like a Damien lie detector. She can just see through everything.
That's good though.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Yeah. I realized about myself, I don't get hangry, but I get thrangry. Like if I'm thirsty and dehydrated, I get super upset. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I get super like short tempered if I'm dehydrated.
That makes me think of like the memes or the videos where it's like the girl goes, oh, I think I have a headache, boyfriend. Did you have water today?
Stop. I hear that all the time.
And well, did you drink your water?
Did you
drink your water? Did you drink your water though?
I do. I drink a lot of water actually, but I think I'm just prone to headaches. Like I'll tell Kevin, like I have this massive ass headache, and he would text me back, did you drink enough water today? Like, yes. Yes, I drink a lot of water.
A part of me thinks that women just can survive on less, like in general, because Kayla and I went to Colorado on a trip. We went on like a hike and it was like 4 a.m. in the morning because we had to like drive through a national park before like the gates opened. Anyways, we each had like a 3-liter bladder or like camelback in our backpack. And by the time that we got back to our Airbnb, I was like, oh, I drink so much water. And she was like, yeah, me too. So mine was nearly towards the bottom. Hers was barely like, I want to say 10 or 20% drink from the top. So she had most of her water left on the same hike. And I was just like, how? What? And she was just like, I thought I drank so much more. So I just think women survive off of much less, or men.
That sounds like me too.
Bigger babies, I don't know.
Oh, dude, that's so funny. No, actually, this is a story from today. So Amanda and I were getting a massage from our friend, like the neuromuscular massage, you know? And then we were talking, like, Amanda wasn't like screaming a lot, like as I usually do, or like, you know, like, Damien, you've had the massage too.
Yep.
And so Joshua had made the comment. He was like, yeah, women tend to not like cry as much, like when I'm working on them, as much as men do. And then Amanda had made the comment that like women seem to just have like a higher pain threshold. Then I was like, well, then why are the men always the one fighting like wars? Why don't we send the women out? You got better pain tolerance? Go, all right, you fight then. Obviously, I'm joking. I don't actually, like, I'm not saying that women should be the ones in the front lines. I mean, if you want to be on the front lines, that's your prerogative. I don't really care. I'm not, but I'm just not making a sexist comment that, you know, it should be all women on the front lines. I don't want to make that clear. Okay, anyway, we got to get back on track, guys.
Jackie, why don't you talk about you and Clinton?
We have been together almost 5 years. But we have dated previously back in 2016, I believe. So I met him through my aunt because his mom and my aunt were friends. And she didn't want to go to his birthday party alone. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll go with you. And then I met this tall, white Thai guy that looks Mexican. And I told him, I was like, well, when we started dating, I told him, you're lucky you're half Asian, because if you were full white, I would not date you. And he was said, no, I think you'd date me. I was like, no, I wouldn't. I still say it to him to this day. I was like, if you're full white, I would not be dating you.
Mm-hmm. But the confidence of the man.
Yeah, he got me.
Mm-hmm.
So my current boyfriend was actually my first boyfriend. Like, being with him again was definitely unexpected, but he slid into my DMs and here we are. I do have like some friends, like girlfriends or coworkers, that come to me for dating advice. And I tell them first thing, I'm like, I don't know if I'm qualified to give you dating advice just because I've only dated two guys, but I feel like I know what I want in a guy. And then they say, well, off of your relationship and things that you've told us, you do seem like you know what you want. So then I think back and I'm like, okay, when I first date a guy, these two guys, I lay down what, like, what's on the table. Like, hey, I'm not here for games. Like, if you're trying to pull something on me, I'm not going to entertain you. Because I am trying to find someone that I'd want to spend the rest of my time with. So I feel like time is precious. But then also, I feel like I haven't run into a lot of people that have caught my attention, or if I have caught their attention.
I mean, other than Jay Park, right?
Jay Park. I'm like, he's just like my type, I guess. But if you look at my boyfriend, he doesn't look anything like him.
Yeah, Clinton looks Italian. That's what I thought when I first saw him.
Italian?
Yeah.
Very specific.
I thought he was like Mr. Giuseppe or something like that.
Mr. Giuseppe.
I think it's the stash and his little beard, I guess you could call it.
It was the stash, and it was like the chain that he had. I don't know. He was giving me very Italian mafia vibes. I saw him.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't. I don't know if I thought Italian when I saw Clinton, but. Sure, we can go for that. I think Clinton's funny. He has a lot of energy, I think.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you've said this about him, where like he's much more extroverted than you, and so he, you know, brings you out to things, mm-hmm. and you hang out with people because of him and all that stuff. So that's something you like about him, right?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I liked him, and I guess that our relationship is going strong, is because growing up, I was so confined into just home and just constantly like doing things, being berated by some people. I'm not going to say who. I think we got an idea of who. But ever since I met him, it's like I've seen like a whole new world, I guess. Because it's like I didn't know that doing, like, the things that he would take me out to, like, oh, like, it's it's actually fun than just being confined into one space. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have met amazing people through it. He brought me, I guess, kind of out of my shell, but I still am like an introvert at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm with him, I'm like in between.
I think people always talk about where the most important thing in a relationship is that you guys are growing together. You guys are, you know, making forward progress, not just as a couple, right? But as like individuals. So I think like that's something that I don't think we've talked about today on this episode. But I think it's like probably a good mark. I think obviously, I mean, I don't think that I can really say like, oh yeah, this is what you need for a healthy relationship. Cause you know, we're all at different points in our relationships, and out of the three of us, right, I'm the least farthest along in my relationship with Amanda. But I guess this is just my observations as a human being who has been in failed relationships. I know what's unhealthy. And it's definitely not healthy if you guys aren't mutually growing. So I think then the opposite is probably true, which is that it's probably healthy for your relationship if you guys are growing. I don't know.
Yeah. Because you know how every relationship has their ups and downs? I feel like we've had our fair share, but I don't think it's as intense as other couples. Because again, we both don't like to argue because it just makes us feel a type of way. And we feel like very hot. And it's like, why are we even arguing in the first place when we can just talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
So like the thing is like when he does something that makes me upset and I talk to him about it, then we talk it through, it gets resolved. But then like out of like, I don't even know how many times, maybe twice or once, like I did something to make him upset and I was crying like a baby. I was like, what did I even do? Like the tiniest bit that I can sense that he's upset with me, I'm a baby. I'm crying. I'm like, please don't be mad at me. But it still gets resolved at the end of the day. And I guess we learn from it. But then he also had to learn how a relationship with me would work out, because when we first started dating, he would compare it to his ex, and it's like,
you don't do that.
I know. He tried to hide something from me, and I just told him, I was like, hey, just tell me what it is. And like he kept persisting for like the next 30 minutes and nothing was wrong. And I like, my anxiety is going through the roof. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. And like when I get really frustrated, I start crying, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you're like angry or frustrated and you just have like those frustrated, angry cries.
Yeah.
And then I told him, I was like, the fact that you're trying so hard to keep it from me makes me think that it's something worse than it possibly could be.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, he told me what happened. And then my answer to him was, do I look upset to you?
She has tears in her eyes.
I know. I was like, do I look upset? Yes. But am I mad at you? Am I mad with you about what happened? No. And he was like, no. And I was like, exactly. So I told you, just tell me what it is and we'll talk about it. You, like, don't hide it from me, because then I'm going to jump to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
So then I think from then on, he learned from that so that he doesn't have to hide anything from me,
mm-hmm.
which is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the things that Kayla's gotten frustrated at me with, it was definitely where it was a situation where if I had just been honest from the beginning and just been like, hey, there's this bad thing that happened, kind of my fault, sorry that it did, I'm trying to resolve it, it probably would have been a much better way of handling it. But because she found out like later on, she was much more upset that I hid it from her than the act of it actually like happening, or what had actually happened. So that I could definitely understand. And I think hearing your story, Jackie, it actually reminded me of something where for Kayla and I to get married, you know, we actually first got civilly married back in 2020. So that's why I've said that we've been married for 3 years, but Kevin and Jackie went to my church wedding, which was just December of last year. And that's because I'm Catholic. Kayla was raised Catholic, and our parents wanted Catholic wedding, and we wanted like something kind of like a big celebration. But anyways, in order to be married in the Catholic Church, you have to take Catholic marriage classes and watch Catholic videos. They actually have like a whole updated production on like, it's like these movies, like these six movies that you have to watch to kind of mm-hmm. help prepare you for the marriage life. Mm-hmm. And one, there's actually one piece of advice that I thought was really nice, which is like, you commonly hear the phrase, don't go to bed angry. Mm. You know, like everyone hears that phrase. But there was like a married couple who said, if you try to do that, then really what all you're running on is emotions. You don't remember why you're originally fighting in the first place. You're staying up late, not really getting anything resolved. You're kind of running in circles. Mm-hmm. So think of it less about, you know, not wanting to go to bed angry, but rather when you are in a disagreement, you are upset, making sure that you walk away and you give each other enough space and enough time to cool off first. Mm-hmm. And then come back together once all the emotions are settled, and you'll find that you'll come to a resolution much quicker than trying to hash it out when, you know, both people are just kind of in a blind fury.
Yeah, I've heard that too, where it's like, yeah, like people say don't go to bed angry, but sometimes when you're angry, the best thing you can do is go to bed. And then you'll find in the morning that when you wake up, like, oh, actually, maybe that really wasn't such a big deal after all, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I can't really say for certain. Again, we're still really young as a couple, so we'll see what happens when we get into fights. But
yeah. Well, I think what's worked out the best for me and Kayla compared to my relationships in the past is that her and I don't necessarily keep score. We don't try to like pinpoint or like kind of pick at things that we've done. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's more like when fights are resolved between us, it's actually both of us apologizing for both of our parts in the fight. Mm-hmm. Like it's never like one person was right here, one person was wrong here, or this person was right here, or like, you know, mm-hmm. you messed up here and therefore I get to like have this say here. It's always like, hey, like for me, I'm always going like, hey, I'm sorry that I was being stupid, that I was misunderstanding. I'm trying to be better. I'm hearing you now. Like, I'm here to support you. I'll always have your back. And then she'll go around and do the same. You know, granted, Kayla has a lot more patience on her side because she, Kayla's very big picture. She's able to see all the details, kind of tackle everything at once, whereas my brain only works at one thing at a time. So I'm not always keeping up with her pace. Mm-hmm. But you know, that doesn't mean that we can't come together in the middle and try to make that work out.
Right. And especially like, you know, knowing that about you, she'll probably be more understanding and like help you along the way too, right? So
I have this habit now where if I go out drinking with people, when I get to a specific drunk point, I'll start like being the drunken cheerleader for Kayla. Mm-hmm. This happened very early on when we were dating and still kind of happens now. I'll just be like, I love her. She's the best.
That's cute. I think like that was I saw this thing recently where the humor of past generations was that like, oh, like the wife is a ball and chain, like, oh, like isn't the missus like such like a hassle, like a pain in my butt kind of thing. But the humor for our generation is very much like a, oh, like my wife is like so much better than me, I don't know how I landed her kind of thing. Yeah, I think about that constantly, where I'm just like, actually, that makes sense. Like, I make that joke all the time, too. I'm like, I don't know how, like, at like, so many points in, like, the dating period of mine and Amanda's relationships, like, I don't know how she was like, yeah, I want to keep seeing this guy. So, yeah.
Well, Kevin, I was going to ask you, compared to, like, your previous relationships, like, how does your relationship with Amanda differ as far as, like, how is your guys' relationship and how it makes you feel, and how can you see this lasting longer, or, you know, for the long run, I could talk, compared to your past exes?
That's a good question. And I would say the first thing is, like, going back to like what I said earlier about like the two really big things that are important to me are sense of humor and respectfulness, is that early on I very much got the sense that like Amanda and I could be very open with each other because she was very respectful towards me whenever like I would say things. And if like she disagreed with it, she wouldn't be like, hey, you're wrong. She'd be like, well, have you considered this? And then we would talk about it from that like angle where it's like not saying like it's not like she was telling me I'm wrong, but she was just saying, hey, I don't think you've thought everything through. And so like, let's talk it out. And then so I very much got the sense of like, oh, like this is someone I can actually dialogue with. It won't turn like if we disagree with each other, it won't turn into a big old fight. So that was number one. And it was, I felt very much comfortable enough to actually share the things of like, oh, like, hey, like this is kind of a thing. Can we talk about it? So that was big. Also, again, this is one of those things where I was like, okay, I maybe like this would have chased any other girl away. But on our second date, while we were talking and through like the whole talking phase up to this point, this was maybe 2 weeks of talking, while we were messaging back and forth, while we were talking on FaceTime, all this stuff, we just kind of realized like we didn't, like we weren't, anytime someone, one of us would say something, the other person would be like, oh, I agree with that. It'd be like, I can't like really think of specific examples, but it was just like, we just found ourselves constantly agreeing with each other. And early on in the, and like when you're dating, right, you can very much get, you can think that it's like, oh, this person just really wants me to like them. That's why they're agreeing with everything. And it could have very easily been that, right? Like where both of us really want the other person to like us. Therefore, we're going to agree with everything. So I suggested to her, why don't we look up a list of things that people will usually disagree on? And we'll go through these topics and we'll see what we actually disagree on. There's got to be something in the world that we disagree on. And so we went through, it was a list of 60 topics to debate. And that our second date just turned into us going over that whole thing for like maybe like 2 or 3 hours. Mm. And by the end of it, we still agreed with each other on everything.
Wow.
Wow.
And it wasn't like, and I have to say, it wasn't like softball questions of like, I don't know, like Apple or Android, you know? It's like, yeah. Like obviously there's some people who like are diehard Apple fans or like diehard Android fans, right? But like for the most part, people don't care. It was genuinely topics like feminism is violent or like Black Lives Matter is unnecessary. It was like very like, these were topics that like, oh shoot, like if you disagree with, like if you have points of disagreement, it'll come up. Mm-hmm. But we didn't disagree. And not in the sense of like, you know, like obviously those are two very extreme things. And I'm not saying that, you know, that we thought those things, that was just the way the questions were phrased. Our answers mm-hmm. were not just to simply agree with those things. And it was also like when we were going over these topics and like giving our answers, like it wasn't just like the person, like one person was answering the question, the other person was immediately saying, I agree with you. It was like, I would answer and she would say, I agree. And this is why. And so it was like, we were like really dialoguing with each other on these things. And it was constantly like, oh no, but we just genuinely agree. And so it was very much seeing that we see the world very much the same way. Mm-hmm. And I think she's a hilarious person. And so like, that goes back to like, I think she's just really funny. And not to say that I think there are some girls that I've dated that were just not that funny, but yeah, those are the big things to me. And I think as far as like, do I think this is going to go long run? Like, I certainly hope so. Actually, my mom and my sister-in-law both called me yesterday and I talked to both of them. Like they both asked me about it. And I was like, if everything stays the same, I certainly hope it'll go towards marriage. But the thing about that is that you never know what tomorrow brings, right? And not in the sense of like, we might have a fight tomorrow and decide we're going to break up, but just anything can happen. So, there's a lot of different reasons why we might not work out, but as long as things are going the way they are and we are continuing to grow as a couple and continue to grow in our understanding of each other, I certainly hope it goes that way. I like her a lot. Mm. She's really cool. I mean, you guys have met her. You guys can, you know, say that. I would hope that you guys think that she's cool and funny too. So, you know.
I finally met her. This time, I finally met her.
Yeah. She likes you guys. She thinks you guys are great, so.
I need to see her more so we can have girl talk. More girl talk.
One thing that brought to mind when you were talking, Kevin, is, and Jackie, you may benefit this too, but when Kayla and I were first dating, as far as like you and Amanda, like going through the quiz or like those hot topic questions. Mm-hmm. Kayla and I actually first bonded on a podcast called The Moth. And from there, she actually told me about this book where it's called The Defining Decade. Mm-hmm. And it basically, it's written by either a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I forget what her credentials are, but it basically explains, you know, how your 20s are the most formative years of your life as an adult. Mm-hmm. It covers things from like, you know, financial to health to relationships. And Kayla actually recommended that book to me. And after I had read it, we discussed it. And I was just like, you know, this makes a lot, you know, these points make a lot of sense. And like, it was a lot of the same points that she thought. And it's a really good book. So, and it's a very easy read. I think it's like 200 pages. It's not that long. Hmm. So for anyone who's trying to look for, I would say, a lens into like how to go about your 20s, as well as like, you know, if you just want to pop to the last section, where I think the last section is on relationships. Hmm. It also ties into like a little bit of biology, but I would highly recommend you try to go for a read of it yourself. So The Defining Decade, you can find it on Amazon. It's, or, you know, on a Kindle, it's pretty easy to pick up.
The man's about to turn 30 and he decides now is what he wants to tell us about the 20s.
I read that four years ago. So yeah, I mean, like, it basically helped me round out the later years of my 20s.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
And just because it talks about your 20s, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't try to take the action plan steps and have the insight that it provides into whatever age or time frame you are now. Like, I'm saying it's a good read no matter what.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And I think it's funny because, like, Josh and I have talked about this where we feel like COVID robbed us of 3 years, you know? So mentally, I still feel like, at times where I'm still like 24, 25, even though I know I'm turning 29 soon. So it's like, oh man, it's weird. But yeah, I think you actually recommended that book to me already before. I just keep forgetting to like actually read it.
Mentally, I'm a child, but my body's telling me that I'm turning 30, definitely.
Hey man, I was having real bad back pain this week and I was like, yo, is it happening?
That's how I felt about my shoulder, Kevin, the one I was telling you about with Joshua. I was just like, why is this happening to me? I feel like I'm in my prime health and my body's like, nope, no, you're not.
For real.
But no, I get that, Kevin. Cause like I'm baby in our group. So it's like, wow, I'm really turning 27 this year.
Time keeps flying by. Anyway, all right, I want to finish off with a question to you guys, and I'm not going to answer. I guess I could answer it if I wanted to, but number one is, Jackie, is Clinton your forever person?
I would say so, yes. I have thought about it. Don't get me wrong. I have given it a lot of thought. You guys have, both of you guys have heard my ups and downs with him. Mm-hmm. But, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but it's like, I gave myself a timeline that if he didn't do this certain thing, or at least attempt to do it by then I would have to force myself to leave him until he made the change, or if he never did. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we talk about our future all the time. I tell him, like, I already gave him my timeline, like, I want to be engaged in my late 20s, married by my early 30s, and then be married for like a year and a half and then have kids. Hmm. So it's like, yes, I'm 26 going 27. So
the late 20s are coming.
My late 20s are coming. So it's like, I'm really trying hard to like make enough and save enough, but I need help because you're trying to build something together.
Right.
And like, I feel like my days are so like blurred. Like I honestly couldn't remember what I did last week. Hmm. Like when I was recapping with my coworkers, I was like, she was like, oh, what did you do after? You'd be like, we haven't seen each other for a week and a half. And I was, all I knew is I came to work. And then I went like home or to his house. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. Like, I mean, all of us, we just literally just go to work and come home and then try to find the little bits of happiness via Kevin. He tells me to be happy about the little things. But just that I guess right now for me is finance, because we're trying to build a future together and I ain't no sugar mama.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to be. Yeah. Okay, so to follow up, Damien, obviously you're with Kayla, you're married to Kayla, so you know, you see her as your favorite person. Jackie, yep. You said that, you know, you hope he is. So the question that I want us to end with tonight is, what is it about this person that has given you the confidence to say that this is my forever person?
I have said this to people who have asked me this question, and it's a stereotypical answer. I will say that. But I hope to provide some context or a different connotation to it. So to put it in short, when you know, you know.
That's stupid. I hate that quote, dude.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Boy.
Okay, but let me provide. Okay, so
No, you're done. You're done, Damien.
Let me finish. let me finish. Let me finish.
Okay.
I also hated when people used that quote because I felt like it was snobbish. It was a way to rub it in my face that you found someone and I didn't. So I know how bad it sounds. But when Kayla and I, when she came back into my life, when we reconnected back to be in a part of each other's lives, there was something in the way that we interacted. It's like I was kind of like not walking on clouds, but kind of like gliding across the floor whenever I walked, whenever I would think about her. It was the way that when I pictured my future together with her, it was just so tangible, more vivid than anything that I've ever seen or imagined previously in my life. It was the way, you know, that I would make her happy and how I would want to always make her happy, and the way that she came into the moments for me when she needed to provide for me and be my supports, and how she saw the little things that would just make my day brighter. Like, for example, so for context, listeners, Kayla and I dated long distance our first year. She was in Southern California. I was still in San Francisco. And how we couldn't go at the most 3 weeks apart without needing to see each other in person. There would be times where I would take a bus down to Southern California. I would take the midnight bus on Friday, get there on Saturday, spend one whole day with her, and then take the midnight bus on Sunday to get to work on Monday, and still feel like that was worth it. There was just something in, it was almost like there was something greater at work, this kind of like presence that was just telling me, like, this is the one, this is what is going to make everything, all your frustrations, your troubles, just make everything fit right. So I know it's cheesy and annoying to hear the words when you know, you know, but it just, I just felt it in my bones that she's the one for me and I'm the one for her.
I love it. I'll take that answer. Don't worry, Damien. I will take that answer.
Yeah, all right, I'll take it.
No, trust me.
Yeah, no, I just hate people say when you know, you know. It's like, what am I supposed to know?
I hate that phrase also, but it's a very good abridged version to kind of encapsulate what I felt or what I like was feeling when I was going through the process of coming to that realization.
Yeah, no, I get you. And like, I think that's the thing is like, sometimes that's exactly it, right? It's something beyond words that you know, that you feel. And that's what people are alluding to. And I think that's essentially what it gets at is there's something, you just can't define it. So, yeah, I get it. I think as I'm getting older, I'm starting to like hate it less and less, but well, whatever. All right, Jackie?
For me, I feel like that we just vibe and get along so well. And I mean, yeah, we have very little arguments or anything to get like upset about. So that's one of the things. And then also in this relationship, I'm all in. So it's like, I won't leave him. The only way that we would break up is if he would end things. So like feature-wise, to hear him talk about things that we'll do in the future and hearing him include me in it as much as I include him in mine makes me feel secure. Like, oh, we're going to have this. Like, I'm going to get you this. We're going to have this. I don't need it, but I'll get it for you because I know you want it.
So it's like knowing you guys are working towards the same picture.
Yeah. What about you? What about you?
The thing is, I don't know that Amanda is my forever person. I certainly hope she is. And I would say the reason for that is I think there are a lot of things that I am as a person, but I am not all things as a person. There's no way that any of us are perfect human beings. And I think that a lot of the ways in which I am lacking, Amanda is. And she's capable of teaching me things that I didn't know before. And of teaching me in ways that like I don't feel like an idiot for not knowing already. I would say the same for her. Like, not to say that like I teach her a lot. I think it's just more like who I am as a person kind of like helps her realize certain things. So one thing she like mentioned to me was that like she really admires my relationship with my friends because, you know, we're always hanging out. We're always talking. We mean so much to each other. And it made her realize that like she wanted to reach out to her friends more often and to like hang out with them more often. So like I think that we both add value to each other's lives in a very meaningful, tangible way. And I think also when we just do really ordinary things together, like I can see us doing it over and over and over again and like not getting bored of it. Like going grocery shopping or like cooking a meal together, like just doing really small things. I think I've said this to her, which is that like I'm not the kind of boyfriend who's really good at really big romantic gestures. Like I suck at that. I can't plan a big date or like a great date night for my life. But what I can do is the other 99% of the time we spend together, the very ordinary, normal moments that we're going to have, I'm going to do my best to make sure that those are meaningful and fulfilling for you. So, And she's the kind of person who appreciates that. She was like, yeah, I don't want, or do I need those really big romantic date nights. I would rather know that like every day is a good day with you. So I think it's like, just, we're very aligned in who we are as people. And we're like, same with Jackie, where it's, you know, we're working towards the same picture. And so I joke with her all the time that I want a kid now. And then she's always like, give me time. So,
give me time.
Yeah, but I'm always joking with her, just saying like, I want one now. And she's like, no. So, yeah. No, I adore her. And I certainly hope she's my forever person. If not, you know, like, I'm still going to look back on these memories fondly. And I don't think that we would ever break up for a catastrophic reason. So I think it's the same thing with you, what you were saying, Jackie, where it's like, I don't plan on breaking up with her. So if we don't work out, it's because she decided to leave me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's, yeah. I certainly hope things work. And I think, it's just a good relationship. It's very healthy, I think. We genuinely like haven't fought. We like disagree with each other sometimes now, where it's like, hey, I don't know if I agreed with when you said this thing, but it was like, you know, we don't turn into anything huge. So I appreciate that about her. Yeah. All right. So thanks for listening to us talk about our relationships. Honestly, this is probably just an excuse for us to gush about our partners anyway. But if you found any value or you found this episode fun, we'd really appreciate it if you could, you know, take some time to you know, go on Spotify or whatever platform you're listening on and leave us a rating, leave us a like. You know, follow us on our Instagram at Just Friend Zone Podcast. And, you know, if there's anything you want us to talk about and you want to hear our thoughts on it, go ahead and leave a comment on our posts saying like, hey, really love you guys' content. And I'd really like it if you guys talk about this. So, yeah, but you know, this is a lot of fun for us and we'll see you next time, I guess. Hopefully Josh is there this time.
Later.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.